Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. And while you're reading this with me, keep in mind the subject, how do you know it's Him? How do you know it's Him? Let's read John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip call thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, we're dealing with something very interesting here, because in this text we find three ways you can be sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the King of Israel. You can know that by the Scriptures and put your faith in what God said there. You can know that by personal experience, like Nathanael had. Or you can know that by neglect. You say, really? How by neglect? You'll see. The first way that you can know that it's Jesus Christ is by the Scriptures. That's what verses 43 to 45 are about. You see, when Jesus would go forth into Galilee and he found Philip there and told him to follow him, Philip did, and after spending a little bit of time with him, he says, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see, God laid down for us prophetic references in the Old Testament so that we could spot Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, the fact that he is called Jesus of Nazareth in verse 45 is prophetic. If you'll cross-reference that with Matthew chapter 2 and look at verse 23, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23, you'll find this reference. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. That's not where he was born, but that's where he dwelt. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, if you go through the Old Testament and look for the prophecy where it says he shall be called a Nazarene, you won't find it. But that's not because the Bible contradicts itself. That's because God used a word here you need to understand. He said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. You see, in the Old Testament, God has recorded for us in written form some of the prophecies of the Old Testament. It's Old Testament prophets, but not all of their prophecies. Some of their prophecies were spoken. As a matter of fact, in one place, Jeremiah prophesies something that he says, but actually it's written down in Zechariah, and it has to do with the betrayal money on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written in one place by one prophet, spoken by another prophet, and not written down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter chapter 1 says. So, he says here, spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene, so that's why they moved up to Nazareth. So when Philip says, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the fact that he says Jesus of Nazareth has to do with spoken prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's enough written prophecy so that if you actually study all the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming, there's no way in the world, by probability, that one man could fulfill all of those prophecies. The probabilities, statistical probabilities, are too infinitesimal. They're too incredible. Jesus Christ would have to be who he said he is by prophecy, because it's virtually impossible for anybody else to fulfill all of those prophecies in one man. I think they used to give an illustration about that thing. They said if you took the molecules of the universe, and you know how small a molecule is, painted one of them red and sent a blind man into the universe to pull out that one red molecule, the probability that he would find that one red molecule on the first try is greater than the probability that one man could fulfill all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So it's astounding when you look at that. But he says here, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Well, Moses and the law said a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 22, we find that he is the Lamb of God. God shall provide himself a lamb, Abraham told Isaac. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 9, we find that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is confirmed for us in Revelation 5:5. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we find that he is the seed of the woman who comes to bruise the head of the devil's seed. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 9, we find that he is as the serpent of brass that is raised up in the wilderness, so that if the people were just to take a look, see, then they would be healed. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we have prophetic references concerning him. In Numbers chapter 24, when Balaam prophesies for Balak, because Balak wants the Jews destroyed, Jesus is the scepter out of Israel. He's until Shiloh come, he's Shiloh, he's the scepter of Israel. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, in 18 he is that prophet that is promised by Moses, who would come after Moses, that would be like Moses. In Exodus chapter 12, he is the Passover lamb. But that's not it. There's so much more. There's so much more. In Isaiah chapter 7, we learned about the Lord Jesus Christ that he would be born of a virgin. It was a sign that was given to Ahaz that a virgin would bring forth a son. Well, who had ever heard of such a thing as that? There'd never been anything like that before, where a virgin would bring forth a son, unless you consider the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman doesn't have seed, she carries the egg. The man has the seed. However, when you put Genesis 3:15 and Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16 together, with Matthew chapter 1, that a virgin conceives and brings forth a son, like Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, then you in fact find that in fact Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the King of Israel. He was to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And when the men of the east came to bring gifts unto Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, they even mentioned that. It was found that he would be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah 5:2. And they were able to locate the time of his birth within 2 years, based upon Daniel chapter 9. And by bringing in within 2 years the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the exact location of his birth, which was the city of Bethlehem, Herod was able to send in his henchmen to start killing the baby boys. And that's why God told Joseph and Mary to take Jesus to Egypt so that he wouldn't be killed by that slaughter. We were told in Psalm 132 that he would come out of David. And in fact, he did. Matthew 1:1 says, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. His name would be called Emmanuel, from Isaiah chapter 7. And that was confirmed by the angel in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. that he would come from the tribe of Judah, that he would be the seed of the woman, that he would have a triumphant entry as found for us in Zechariah 9:9. You see, the Bible is loaded with prophetic references concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to run down the list for you here. I don't want to belabor the point and deal with every one of these. I think we have another message that deals just with the prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in great detail. You're welcome to call, and we'll be glad to send that to you. Listen, he was rejected by the Jews. He was called out of Egypt. He's the prophet raised up. It was prophesied that he would cleanse the temple. And within 24 hours, all of these prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ were fulfilled. That he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. That he would be betrayed by a friend. That the money would be cast to the potter. That the disciples would forsake him. That he would be accused by false witnesses. That he would be smitten on the face and spit upon. That he would be dumb before his accusers. That he would be wounded and bruised. That he would fall under the cross. That his hands and his feet would be pierced. That he would be crucified with thieves. That he would pray for his persecutors. The people would shake their heads. They would ridicule him. They would be astonished. His garments would be parted and lots would be cast for his vesture. That he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That they would give him gall and vinegar to drink. That he would commit himself to God. That his friends would stand afar off. That his bones would not be broken. That his side would be pierced. That his heart would be broken. That darkness would cover the land. That he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. That he would be resurrected. That he would ascend. That he would be exalted. That he would maintain an eternal priesthood. That his friend would eat bread and lift up his heel against him. And that he would bear the sin of many. Let me tell you something. That is a load, and that's not all. But that is a load of prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And those prophecies are found, as Philip said, in the law of Moses and in the prophets. So, what are you going to do? Do you want to know if, in fact, Jesus Christ really is God? Do you want to know if, in fact, Jesus Christ can really save you? Then believe what the Bible said. In Isaiah 53, concerning your present condition, in Isaiah chapter 53, we see clearly that if you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what He did for you would then have purpose for your life. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Watch it. He bore your griefs. And carried our sorrows. He carried your sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Why? Because he wasn't a sinner. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now he went to the cross for you. And all those prophetic references I gave you only confirm, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he is in fact the Son of God, the King of Israel, the one who died for you. He's going to reign. He is going to rule with a rod of iron. He is coming back to this earth. And you can know for sure that it's him by simply believing what the Bible says about him. Now, we have more revealed truth in writing than Philip had. And Philip believed him. You've got all the New Testament revealed and written down to confirm everything that was in the Old Testament so that you can believe. Philip with Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, and Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. God, manifest in the flesh. You can know that it is him by the scriptures. That's how Timothy found out. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Won't you believe what God said? Surely you can do that. If you would simply read and believe what God said about his son, Jesus Christ, and put faith in the written words, you would know that it is him, and you would know him for an eternity. You'd be saved. But there's another way that you can know him. You can know him by the scripture. You can know him by personal experience. Look at verse 46. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You can know by personal experience. You see, a lot of people are very critical of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't want to have anything to do with him because they're critical of us preachers, and sometimes rightly so. You know, I was visiting with a fellow. I knocked on his door, and I had a friend of mine with me. We knocked on his door, and he began to tell me about his life. He wasn't saved. I asked him point blank. I said, You've been in Baptist church ever so long. I said, Are you saved? He said, No, I'm not saved yet. He knew that. He was very honest with me. So I said, Well, why not? And he described some things that had happened in his life that basically made him bitter toward God. But you know the thing that made him the most bitter? Was the fact that the preacher that he had stepped out on him by committing adultery. That is, he lost faith in this guy and lost confidence in this guy because he had cheated on his wife. Really hurt him. And I told him, I said, Listen, you are not going to be able to justify yourself before God by standing behind that man's sin. You know what Jesus Christ has done for you. You still need to trust him individually as your Savior. But this thing really messed him up, really hurt him. In other words, he has a very negative view of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? Nathanael did too. Nathanael had a prejudice against Jesus Christ, just like this fellow did, for a different reason, though. But that doesn't mean that just because you have a prejudice against the Lord Jesus Christ, that in fact that you have justification for rejecting him. Nathanael said to Philip, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was prejudiced. People think somehow or another you're going to eliminate, you know, prejudice in the society. You're not going to do that. Here's Nathanael, an Israelite in whom is no guile, but he was down on the people that came from Nazareth. Now, of course, Philip said, the prophets spoke, you know, when you compare Matthew chapter 2 with John chapter 1, verse 45, that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. He was of Nazareth. Nathanael had to overcome his negative opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get to know him. Listen, when I first heard about Jesus Christ, I wasn't favorable toward him either. But the way I heard about him, he was a strict God, a strict judge. And I was scared. But I've met a lot of people like Nathanael, who at first, you know, Jesus freak, and you know, they got the whatever, the heebie-jeebies about Jesus Christ, whatever it is. You know the funny thing, I'm going to tell you, the prejudices are usually without foundation. Now, Philip and Andrew and Peter were all from Bethsaida. And they don't say anything bad about Bethsaida. They're talking bad about Nazareth. But you know, there's an interesting thing. If you go back here to Matthew chapter 11, you see where Jesus Christ is preaching against the cities because of their unbelief and the problems within the cities and the fact that he had come and presented himself to them and a lot of these people would not repent. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Isn't that a strange thing? Nathanael is down on Nazareth, but he's not down on Bethsaida, and yet Bethsaida is the one that Jesus Christ pointed out was going to really catch it at the judgment. That's an interesting thing. That might tell us that whatever negative view we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whatever negative view we may have against some of his preachers, that in fact it may be our own household is going to get a more severe treatment at the judgment. I'd suggest to you the best thing to do is to get to know Jesus Christ by personal experience. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I may know him. It's not just about knowing about him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How are you going to know the power of his resurrection? If you trust him as your Savior, you'll be trusting him to get you out of a grave after you die. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Suffering what? Suffering the loss of some of your fleshly desire, not being able to give in to every sin that compels you against the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Die to yourself. Live to God. What a remarkable thing. Paul said that I may know him. Nathanael looked at Jesus Christ. Jesus said, an Israelite in whom is no guile. He said, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us about that. That's what John writes about in his epistle over here in 1 John. He spends the whole time writing about you getting to know Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, he said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So then the key here is to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And then you'll know it's him. We love him because he first loved us. Look at Psalm 139. Now, this is David speaking, but he's talking about the Lord, and he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Have you ever gotten close enough to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to search you out and know you? Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He said, you know, where am I going to hide from you? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I go to the very uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. The thing about it is, David was able to say in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and just said that? Jesus Christ nailed Nathanael, knew exactly all about him, disclosed it in a sentence, and Nathanael said, this has to be God. You ever come to Jesus Christ? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You should do that. But that way you'll know it's him, just like Nathanael found out by personal experience. So you can do it like Philip did by the Scriptures. You can do it like Nathanael did by personal experience. The next time you go to church, you haven't ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the preacher preaches and he says, if you want to trust Jesus Christ, come down front here to this altar and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Take him up on the offer and go find out for yourself that it's so. Some people want to keep learning by intellect. Don't worry about intellect. Go to Jesus and find out. You say, well, I don't want to do either one of those. Okay, then, find out the third way. How's that? By neglect. Look what Jesus said in verses 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He said, then how am I going to know him by neglect? You just don't do anything with Jesus Christ and wait around, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to find out just like the rich man in hell found out. What do they say? There are no atheists after death. You may not believe in God now. You may be an agnostic and not know God now. You're going to know him, and you're going to know for sure there is a God, and you're going to know he's one God in three persons, and you're going to know it beyond the shadow of a doubt the moment that you say goodbye to this world in death. that rich man got thrown down into hell, he would have nothing to do with Jesus Christ whatsoever, nothing to do with God Almighty. And in Luke 16, he gets down there and he gets under so much conviction in the hot flames of hell and in the torment of hell that he starts taking pity on his brothers. And he says to Abraham, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. All of a sudden, he became a real soul winner, real soul conscious and burdened for souls, didn't want his brothers to wind up in hell. He all of a sudden had a strong belief in God, so much so that he didn't want anybody to go down there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, it don't make any difference whether you take him or not. You're going to see him. It doesn't make any difference. In Revelation 1, 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You see, what he describes here in John chapter 1, verse 51, he describes himself just the way that Jacob saw him in Genesis 28. When Jacob saw him in a vision, he saw what we refer to as Jacob's ladder. Heaven was open. And he said, surely this is the house of God. Surely God was in this place and I knew it not. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder that was from the earth up into the heaven. If you want to go from this earth up into heaven when you die, then you're going to have to go by Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Israel, or you will not go. Because he's the only way that a man can go from this earth to an open heaven to receive him. You say, well, I just don't know if I can trust you, preacher. I don't know if I can trust the words of God. I'm not real sure that I can. I just don't think I can go that way. All right, then. Here's the deal. You can meet him now by putting your faith in the scriptures that we quoted to you today. And by getting to know him by personal experience like Nathaniel did. Or you can sit on your thumb and wait. But I'm going to tell you something. If you wait, you'll meet him later. You will see him. And you, like the rich man, will see him in the flames and in the torments of hell. And you will weep for the fact and wail for the fact that you wouldn't trust him. Now, it's your choice. And the question I have for you is, which way are you going to choose? Are you going to be like Philip and Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel and choose him? Or are you going to be like so many other and reject him and wait to find out for yourself the hard way? My suggestion to you is that you'll trust him, just like Nathaniel did.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.